In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today I would like to speak to you about the theological virtue of hope. In the Gospel of today's Mass, our Blessed Lord reassures the apostles that even though they are going to go through a time of tribulation, that nevertheless they will end up in joy, and this joy no one will take from them. And thus he is giving them the hope of eternal salvation, a hope that they must live with through their tribulations in order to make it to the goal. Now, hope is the forgotten theological virtue. We know what faith is, that is to assent to the truths that are revealed by God and proposed by the Church for belief. It is our vision of the things of God. And we know what charity is. It is the love of God. It is the desire of heaven. It is the will to be with God for all eternity. It is to cherish and to esteem God for his goodness. But hope is the link between faith and charity, that is, between the knowledge of God and the possession of God. Take the analogy of the farmer. He may look at his field in the spring and know exactly what to do in order to make the crops grow and have a cash profit at the end. And this is similar to his faith in the spiritual life. By the faith, we know who God is. We know what we must do in order to attain eternal salvation. The farmer also wants to possess the fruit of the land so that he can sell it for cash. And this is similar to charity in the spiritual life, because charity is this love of God. It is love of God as our ultimate end, our beatitude, our perfect happiness. But he knows, the farmer, that in order to possess the end, which is the fruit of the land, he must work that land. There is a means to an end, and he must work that land, and the more he works that land, the more fruit it will give. And he therefore, as he goes out to plow, and as he goes out to do the other things that pertain to that, he has a hope of possessing the end, which is the fruit of the land, which he will be able to sell. Now, in hope, any hope, whether it's natural or supernatural, there is a certain confidence of gaining the end, but there is also a fear of not gaining the end. It is not a sure thing. Even if he should plant his crops and water them, a hailstorm could come and destroy everything. He does not foresee that. He hopes that it will not happen, but it could happen. Now, in the supernatural virtue by which we hope in the promises of God to give us the victory, to give us eternal happiness at the end, we have confidence on the one hand, confidence in the promises of God. And this confidence is so strong that it does not admit even of exception. We do not have any fear about God's fulfilling his end of the bargain. The fear is in our constancy, in our cooperation with the grace of God. The fear is in the knowledge of our feebleness and our unreliability to do what we must do. And so we are not already saved, as the Protestants would say. We hope for salvation. And the only thing that will hold it up is our failure, is our turning our backs on the plow, and our failure to do the things which are necessary to do, which we know must be done by our holy faith. And so there is a certain fear in hope, but nevertheless, with the grace of God, this fear is overcome by our confidence in God and by our confidence in gaining the end. Now, hope is the virtue that makes saints. For hope holds out to us this principle: the greater our labor, the greater our reward. And the reward is great. If you hold out to a man a commission, the more you sell, the more you get. That is a strong incentive. And it's especially strong if the reward is great. If there is a lot of money to be had. But the reward in this case far exceeds money which can be taken away from us or which we may spend foolishly. It is a reward that will never be taken away from us, an eternal reward, and the payer of this reward is God Himself, who will not in any way relent or go back on His promises. It is the fulfillment of all human desire. It is not merely money or some material thing. It is the fulfillment of all human desire. It is the fulfillment of why we were created. This is what is held out to us. And the means to that end are easy in comparison to the greatness of the end. They're easy. It is to pray. It is to act according to our nature. For what is the law of God in most cases but the natural law? It is to act in accordance with our nature, just as a car or a washing machine acts in accordance with its nature. So it is to act in accordance with our nature, to have the interior peace even in this life of doing that. It is to have a friendship with God by speaking to Him in prayer, by coming to Mass on Sunday, by receiving the sacraments. It is to believe in God, which is such an easy thing to do. To believe God. And St. Thomas Aquinas said that the way to heaven is very easy. True, it becomes difficult when we listen to the suggestions of the devil and when we follow the instincts of our lower nature that are in rebellion. But considered in itself, it's an easy thing to get. It's easy. Anybody can do it. Anybody can pray. Anybody at any time of the day, no matter what their condition, if they should be crippled, if they should be dying, if they should be a child or in old age, they can pray. If they should be in prison, if they should be cut off from the Mass and the sacraments for years, they can pray. And this prayer, if fervent, will gain for them the end. It's so easy. And this hope is the builder of monasteries. Because the saints, understanding this great goal to be accomplished and the ease of pursuing it, are not content with a faint-hearted or half-measured thrust toward this goal, but rather want to do the utmost. And they know that they cannot do the utmost in the world, and so they build a monastery. They, in the early church, went out into the desert and lived in huts. And as others followed them, these saints that would do this, then the monastery started, and then religious life started. This hope is the maker of saints. And this hope gives us the strength to accomplish what seems to be difficult. You read the life of the saint, and you say, how could I do such a thing? How could I do the things that they did? Why did they do them? Because their hope was so strong that those things which seem to us to be so difficult, to them were not difficult. Their hope made them overcome them. Their mortifications, or their great missionary spirit, or the fact that they spent their whole lives in the alleviation of the afflictions of the sick or of the poor, like St. Vincent de Paul, St. Margaret, St. Mary de Pazzi, and others. Or where they gave themselves over to a whole life of contemplation, like St. Teresa of Lisieux, or St. Romuald, St. Bruno. Things that seem to us to be difficult because of lack of hope, but they were fired by this hope. And this hope which makes the saint, and which makes religious life, and which makes the priest, that is, this fixation of our wills on the life of the world to come, and the neglect of this world, a healthy neglect of this world, is the life of the church, the soul of the church. For if it were not for this hope, if it were not for this aim, this attachment to the life of the world to come, the church would have no life here in this world. If it were not for priests and religious, there would be no church. It is because some are called by the grace of God to donate their lives to Him in a most particular way, to hand themselves over in a complete and total act of hope in the life of the world to come. It is because God calls them that there is a Catholic Church and there is hope for others. It is because God calls them that there are sacraments and there is an example to follow, and so forth. Now, we are obliged to make acts of hope from time to time. It is a good and pious practice to recite your act of hope every day, acts of faith, hope, and charity. But you must make an act of faith, especially when, first, you are called upon to do a good work to which you feel an aversion. One of the most difficult works that is required by the law of our Blessed Lord is to do good to your enemies, to bless those that persecute you, to do good to those that do evil to you. It is one of the most difficult moral obligations of the Catholic, because it goes against every grain in your body, every instinct in your animal nature. For you are inclined to return evil for evil, just as the dog does, or the rat. But the supernatural and beautiful law of our Blessed Lord is to return good for evil, to do good to those who do evil to you, to pray for them, and even positively to help them. And you might feel a certain aversion to that. But it is the virtue of hope which will drive you to do those things which pertain to the moral law, and thus pertain to the life of the world to come. And this virtue of hope will overcome your instincts and make you act in a supernatural way. For you will be acting solely in that case for the purpose of gaining the reward, solely to please God, with no natural inclination in it. And it is only the virtue of hope that will get you through that. So you must make such an act when you are faced with those acts of virtue which are difficult. Secondly, you must make an act of hope when God visits you with sickness, poverty, and other afflictions. And He does this in order to perfect your virtue, in order to detach you from this world, something that we are in constant need of, because every day we become, by our nature and fallen, by our fallen nature and bad instincts, more attached, or we have a tendency to become more attached to this world. And so God visits us with sickness and poverty and other afflictions purposely to make us detached from this world, to remind us with a lesson every day that we are not made for this world. We are made for the next world, that this is a place of the cross, and the next world is the place in which we will have our eternal happiness. And that is an act of hope. St. Paul said, "Our present tribulation, which is momentary and light, worketh for us above measure exceedingly an eternal weight of glory." And he said, "In all things we suffer tribulations, but we are not distressed. We are cast down, but we perish not." He said, "I am filled with comfort. I exceedingly abound with joy in all our tribulations." And very few people have had as many tribulations as St. Paul, being beaten and scourged, practically put to death a few times, suffering shipwreck many times. He could definitely speak as someone who has suffered tribulation. But his hope was so strong that he said, "Among all of those tribulations, I have joy." Because he saw the value of them, he saw the reason for them, of course, by his saintly faith. Hope is fired by faith. It is illumined by faith. There could be no hope unless there were faith. And we also must make acts of faith when men revile you with words or when the devil attacks you with temptation. The servant is not greater than his master. And our Lord Jesus Christ was despised by those who loved the world and even put to death by them. And we should not think that in embracing his holy faith and being part of his holy church that we are going to fare any better. The servant is not greater than his master. And we must understand that as the world gets worldlier and shakes off the last remnants of Catholic civilization, even the last remnants of obedience to the natural law, and as it sinks more into the most vile and ugly norms of human conduct, we must understand that it will hate all the more, with ever greater intensity, the Catholic faith and those who follow it. Make no mistake. And when you are reviled by men, and when you feel that temptation to be a part of the world and to give in to the world, where it just becomes easier to give in, you must make an act of hope and understand that this is not the place in which to make your home. The temptation of the devil is precisely that. Every temptation is to put aside God from his throne in your hearts and to erect in your hearts some worldly thing, whether it should be impurity, whether it should be avarice, whether it should be human respect. To put in God's place in your heart some worldly thing where you say, "I will find my perfect happiness in this world by possessing this, by possessing a pleasure, by possessing a thing, by possessing the praise of men." That is a temptation. It could come in any kind of form, but it's all the same story. The same theme. Always some cheap thing replacing God. And this is where we must make an act of hope. We are made for the life of the world to come. The promises of Christ are that if we bear our crosses faithfully in this life, if we fight the good fight, resist the temptations, profess our Lord Jesus Christ before men, then he will profess us before his Father in heaven. St. James said, "Blessed is the man who endureth temptations." when he hath been proved, he shall receive the crown of life, which God hath promised to them that love him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.